Amen. Well, you can be seated, and I want to welcome you here again today. I'm Pastor Keith, if you didn't catch that earlier. And I got to tell you, I have some great news for you today. I don't know if you woke up thinking that you would be a part of something fantastic and eternal today, but you will be. You will be, as we all get to be a part of the believer baptism of someone among us. While we have many, many other baptisms going on across our other five campuses that dot the South Towns, there are over 20 baptisms going on at Revive Wesleyan today. Amen. And I want you to just think about that for a second, okay? In the middle of a pandemic, God is alive. In the middle of a pandemic, God is alive, God is active as we, okay, the local church, as we do all that we can do to keep our doors open so that people can continue to seek him. Seek him during, again, what continues to be a challenging season. And I want you to know that you are all a part of that. We are the church. We are his church. And I got to tell you, through things like our attendance, through things like our participation, our serving, through things like our welcoming attitude, and even things like our giving, through things like that, we, okay, you, keep Revive Wesleyan as a beacon of God's hope, a beacon of God's healing, a beacon of God's grace. Revive Wesleyan, where our mission is to pursue the Father, God, and to proclaim Jesus and to participate with the Holy Spirit, of which church baptism is a key part of, okay? Now, sometimes baptism, one of two sacraments that we observe, the other is communion or the Lord's Supper, but sometimes baptism is seen as a word picture of washing. In Acts 22:16 of our Bible, Paul shares a part of his testimony. And he tells us of a man named Ananias who was praying for him. Ananias was praying for Paul as a newly converted man to Christ's way. And Paul says that Ananias told him this, to get up and to go be baptized. And the same Paul, he must have thought a lot about baptism, which should not be surprising since whenever someone became a follower of Jesus, they were immediately baptized, according to our biblical account. They were immediately baptized as a visible sign, church, of their new life. Their new life, okay? And thus, Paul teaches us that baptism, I got to tell you, Paul teaches us that baptism means more. It means way more than washing. He really shows us under the inspiration of God that it is really, church, a matter of life. And it is a matter of death, which we're going to look at today, leading up to the baptism that we get to be present for today. Praise God. Now, last week, if you were with us, you may recall that we spent some time in Paul's letter to the church at Colossae. And I just want to read one verse from chapter 2 that we looked at last week to just continue our study today. So Colossians 2, verse 12 says this. Having been buried with him, okay, which is Jesus, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. So according to this verse, going under the waters of baptism is a symbol of being buried with Christ. In other words, sharing in his death. And coming up out of that water is a symbol of being resurrected with Jesus. In other words, it's somehow sharing in his victory over death as a result of sin. We are raised with him. So in light of that, let's ask two questions this morning. One, what does it mean to share in the death of Jesus? What does that mean? And second, what does it mean to share in the resurrection or the risen life of Jesus? And let's start by thinking about what sharing in his death means. Well, when we put our faith in Jesus, our life, you see, it is joined with him. Paul calls this being in Christ. In other words, being united with Christ, being connected to him. Now, in saying that, my mind goes to a place where Jesus taught us that he is the vine, and we are what? We are but the branches. Branches that are to remain where, according to Jesus? Connected to him, right? And you see, this is a union that is to have huge implications, okay? It is a union to have huge implications, almost like it's a marriage. It's like a marriage when you think about it. You see, when I married my wife, Laura, my debts and my savings and my possessions, they became hers. And hers became mine. And when you or I give our life to Jesus, it's not intended to be a hobby, okay? It's not intended to be a hobby. It's like a marriage. And baptism is really like the wedding ceremony. But where you and I, where we, okay, ultimately, we get the sweeter end of the deal, okay? Because Jesus, what does he do? Well, he takes on the debt of your sin. He takes on the debt of my sin when I build and join in a relationship with him. It's canceled. And you and I receive the benefit, you see, of his sacrificial death. He gets your sin, and you get his savings account of grace. Debt erased. That's a pretty sweet deal, okay? That's a pretty sweet deal when you really think about it. But I got to tell you, Paul isn't done. Because you see, becoming a follower of Jesus, that is to be the beginning of a whole new life, one where we are joined with Jesus and one where we have a whole new relationship with something called sin, okay? Well, what do I mean? Well, let's look at Paul's God-inspired thoughts in another one of his letters to the Roman Christians. And we're kind of jumping around today. A lot of times we stick in a scripture, but Paul talks so much about baptism. We got to like see what he thinks about this in multiple areas, but we're going to look at Romans 6, 1 to 4. It says this, "Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not," writes Paul under the inspiration of God. "Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when you were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism." You see, a part of sharing in the death of Jesus, part of being in him or connected to him, is being dead to sin. Being dead to sin going forward, okay? Meaning it's a part of my old life, but not a part of my presence, not a part of my future reality. Now, in saying that, will you and I, will we mess up? Will we make mistakes? Will we sin post-baptism, post-connection with Christ? Absolutely we will. But what this is getting at is any form of lifestyle of sin and or casual attitude towards sin, that is to be gone. And our cravings change. That's what happens. Our cravings change because in many ways at the end of the day, do you know what you are? You are, I am, we are what we crave. That's who we are. Look at Ephesians 2, 1 to 3, also from Paul, as he continues to communicate about our reality before and after Christ, before being in Christ and after being in Christ. It says this, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath." A child of the world craves the things of the flesh, while a child of God craves the things of God. That's just who you become. Christianity, you see, it isn't about what you do. It's about who you are. And baptism, the act of it, it doesn't save you. But the message that it communicates about who you are and whose you are, that does. That saves you. Going back to the book of Romans, Paul continues with this in verse 6 and 7. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ. So that sin, listen to this, so that sin might what? Might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set what, church? We were set free from the power of sin. What this means is that when sin comes a knocking on your door and mine, because it will, the temptation to will come knocking. What this says is when that happens, we can stay in our chair. We don't have to answer the door. We have the power to, we have access to the power to stay in our chair and to yell back, I'm done with you. It's over between us. You sin, you've caused me enough pain. You've caused me enough sorrow. You've caused me enough guilt. And Jesus sin, Jesus took care of you on the cross. You have no power over me anymore. And this goes for the temptations. When the temptations come our way to lead us into sin, to things like lust or debauchery or stealing or lying or cheating. But it also gives us this freedom for the sins we tend to sweep under the rug a little bit, that we sweep a little more under it. You know, maybe how we blame things on others or how we blame things on other situations. Like maybe it's how we react poorly or how we tear down others verbally or how we treat others worse than we ourselves would like to be treated. In both situations, church, we have the power. We have the access to the power to say, I'm done with that, and to choose something different, and to fill up on the Holy Spirit of God once again for Him to lead us, for Him to lead us away from the temptations and the trappings of sin. In other words, we can say, because it's true, that we are dead to sin. We can say, because it's true, based on God's word, that we are dead to sin versus dead because of sin. In Romans 6, verse 11, listen to this. It says this. In the same way, count yourselves what, church? Dead. Count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So with all that, the answer to question one this morning of what does it mean to share in the death of Jesus? Well, it means we are forgiven. We are forgiven. It means we are forgiven and we are dead to sin. Baptism is a matter of life and death. It's a matter of life and death. That's what it communicates. That is what it symbolizes. But there is more, okay? Let's not leave anyone under the waters of baptism. Let's bring them up out of that water, okay? With that, question two of today. What does it mean to share in the resurrection of Jesus? Well, in Jesus, we come alive. Check out what God says through Paul in Colossians 2:13. It says this. When you were dead in your sins, God made you what? Alive. When you were dead in your sins, God made you alive with Christ. Church, that is what we witness every time we see someone come up out of the waters of baptism. Do you remember when I said that you would be a part of something fantastic today? There it is. There it is. Every time we see someone come up from the waters of baptism, we see someone raised up to a new life, a life that is alive, a life that is alive to and for and because of God. To and for and because of God, for He sent His one and only Son, right? And the gift He provided, right? That's why this is so powerful and meaningful and true. In Jesus, we find a whole new life. In Jesus, we find a whole new way of thinking, a whole new way of being. As we talked about last week, we find a whole new and a purpose-filled reality that is anything but generic and that is anything but mundane. And that's because of, and that is through Jesus. And in Christ, we just have the ability to begin to see things differently. We can and we are meant to see the world, and we can and we are meant to see others as God sees them. As people, you see, just like ourselves, people deserving of, what did the scripture say? Deserving of wrath, but made right by Christ if they've accepted him. Or we should be able to see the full potential of someone to be made right by Christ if they were only to accept him, which we have the power to influence. We have the power to influence that as we let Christ live and shine through us. In Jesus, our minds are made new. In Jesus, we find a whole new set of values, again, a whole new way of being, and we begin to love and we begin to crave what our Father loves and what our Father craves. And we invest our lives into something that lasts, you see, the kingdom of God. And in all that, we have a new hope. Church, God is at work. God is at work here and now. God is at work here and now in and through us. And when this life is over, okay, through faith in Christ, we will live forever with the Lord. Look at Colossians 3, starting in verse 1. It says this. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on what? Not on earthly things. For you died. You died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with him in glory. As we read that, I hope you listen for the changes that are to be apparent in the one who is raised with Christ. So in saying that, church, baptism, it's not just a scrub. It's not just a washing. It's more like a wedding. And in many ways, it's the beginning of a whole new life. It's the beginning of a whole new you offered to you in Christ. It's a matter of life and death. His, Jesus's life and death. Offered all for you and offered for all. Now at this time, I'd like to invite Lexi Hackett, God's daughter, who is about to be baptized forward, and her friend Megan forward. And I'm going to pray, and then Megan is going to share a little testimony with us from Lexi. Heavenly Father, we just come before you today, Lord. I thank you for truth. I thank you for scripture, Lord, that communicates what you're about and what you offer to us and what Jesus' death and resurrection really means. That we die with you, Lord. We die to ourselves and we live for you. We live for others. We crave what you would have us crave. And Lord, I just pray that everybody that's within the hearing of my voice would just really reflect on that today. And just really reflect on the access to the power they have to say no to things that hurt them. To say no to things that hurt their relationship with God, but to say yes to the things of which are so much more value, and so much betterment for ourselves, and health and wellness. We just pray all this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Everybody, this is Megan, and she's going to share with us.
Lexi writes, my grandma has always taught me about Jesus. From the time I was a little girl, I knew who Jesus was and how to get to heaven, but I never felt that I had a personal relationship with him. My faith was really shaken when I tragically lost my best friend at 23 years old. I thought, how could Jesus let this happen? I was lost and depressed. I kept praying, please God, get me through this somehow. It took some time, but even in my grief, for the first time, I could see Jesus working in my life. I had lost a friend who could never and will never be replaced, but he gave me new friends that would soon become some of my best friends, including the woman reading this right now. Those people, all of the comfort they had brought me, got me through. It was then when my faith was restored, because I knew that even in difficult times, Jesus would give me what I needed to get me through. I want to be baptized because I want to take the next public step in growing my relationship with the Lord. I want to thank the Lord for the blessings he has given me.
Amen. Lexi, you can step in the water. She said it felt warm earlier, so hoping it still does. It's a little cold. Just feet out there.
It What do I do?
I'm going to ask you a question. Lexi, is it your desire to be baptized today, symbolizing your dedication to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Amen.
Amen. Lexi, it is my blessing and honor and privilege to baptize. She's cold, so I'm going to say a quick prayer, all right? But I want to pray for Lexi, and please join me. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this daughter of yours, Lexi Hackett. And Lord, I just I thank you for her step in doing this to publicly proclaim what you have done for her, what you mean to her, Lord. And I just pray protection and blessing over her. I thank you for her testimony, Lord, how powerful that though she was alone, Lord, that you filled that need. And that is a message for each one of us, Lord. When we feel empty, when we feel like at a loss, you are there for us. So, Lord, there is power in Lexi's testimony, and there is power in her baptism. And I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would fill her every day going forward and just help her to live a life that is blessed and one that blesses you and makes your heart warm and happy, God. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.